Well, thank you all for being here, and what a honor and a privilege to be here on Father's Day. Yes. And, you know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 16, said, I do not write these things to shame you, but as many as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, he's saying, I'm a paternal father to you who are birthed in Christ, and I want you to imitate that. In other words, imitate the Father in me. Imitate me as a father, like you were saying. And I have a long account I could tell you about meeting Abba Father and about him becoming Abba Father, like Barry said. And when you, I urge all of you to know Almighty God is not just Creator, Almighty God, but as Abba Father. Daddy God. And I will tell you this, that when I found that out, I understood what you said, dear, because he said to me, I am all the father you will ever need. It doesn't mean you had a bad father, a good father, or no father. It just means he is all the father you will ever need forever, world without end. So to know the Lord Jesus brings you into fatherhood. Without Jesus, you will not know God as Father. Do you hear me? Amen. You must know him. And so that's why Jesus said, you don't know God because you don't know me. If you knew me, you would know my Father. So that's very, it's a very powerful statement for us today. And as we see in our society today, it's like a fatherless society. It's like the enemy wants to rage and continue blurring family, attempting, as he always does, to destroy God's plan as husband and wife by destroying the gender definition that God gave us in the beginning. I created you in my image. So remember that as we go on, it's not an alternative that we have to decide on which God chooses. He made you fearfully in his image. He planned you. So we understand that. And as a Christian, as a believer, we need to really stand up for that today. And the way you can do that is also spend time and reside with his glorious presence. That's right, yeah. This is a season where the carnal mind is definitely the greatest enemy against God. That being said, this is to me a glorious season because what Jesus did, he wasn't just going away to the garden to pray. He was there to spend time with Abba Father because that's where his energy, his strength to live in this earth after he had been in the glorious presence of God was the answer. It isn't not sinning. It isn't running from evil. It's running into the presence of God's glory. And I have the anecdote for everything that's against God today is spending time with his glory. Otherwise, a religious spirit will have you entrapped to spend time trying to approach God when all you have to do is yield to him and surrender in that glorious presence of God. Isn't that good? So what God did was he gave us demonstrations, but nothing does it like being in his glorious presence. You can read all about it all you want, but it's an experiential matter that's really going to take you into out of this world. Pilate was trying him, you remember? And he said, you're a king. He said, I am, but not of this world. In other words, he said in another scripture, he said, if I were of this world, then my servants wouldn't be letting me be handed over to you. But it's being done so because my Father in heaven wills it. That's a powerful statement. In other words, I'm not of this world. Well, what does that mean? We're in the world, God. Was it? Well, no, but you're not of the world. You're in the world. In other words, if you're in me, Christ in you is the hope of glory. The glory of God is the express presence that exists around him. He will get the glory. Recently, I was taken up in the glory presence of God in another encounter. The best way I can explain that to you is that when you step into the glory realm of God, you're undone. Yes. There's no explanation. Humanness won't work. Right. Me fixing this earth, God, it won't work. You can't fix what we've got going on now. No. It's not going to work. But the glory of God gets us through the setting here and demonstrates the best we possibly can the touch of His glory in this earth. So you are the carriers of the glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? And as you carry that glory, please do not take that for granted. Because somebody wants what you carry daily. I think is an awesome statement that Paul made as a father, a paternal father to Christians. Imitate me. When a man says that, it's not arrogant or conceited. You know what it is? I know I am so assured of what's in me. Do you hear me? I'm so assured of this that I know what you're going to see will not be Paul. You're going to see God. That's a statement of real assurance. So who really demonstrated a lot of the glory? Well, it was Moses. As his journey that he didn't really care about being hired for or called to, but nonetheless, I understand that some days. he wanted to spend time in God's glory, and the older I get, and the more I begin to realize that he understood, God, if I get through this, it's going to have to be me with you in your glorious presence. To set these people free who are obstinate people against you. So today I understand the warfare is not so much the enemy without. Oh, they're out there. The devil will square off and let you know, I hate God and His kingdom and I'm going to try to destroy it. We understand that. But it's within. And that's the hardest kind, because that brings out the word like rejection. My own people rejected me, Jesus said. You know, I came for my own, but they didn't even want me. God sent His Son, and yet the world will reject that. But not only the world, the religious disorder who pretends. See, I like an enemy that'll square up and say, hey, I'm your enemy. I'm after you. Good. I respect you. But from within, He said, it's those of your own household that are difficult, because that enemy is one you really don't suspect as much, but when you really try to rely and count on them as a great cloud of witnesses, you'll be disappointed because they don't understand the glory realm that God has brought you into. And I don't take it for granted. So when I actually physically died, so I'm one that also is a witness of, like you were talking about, and I went through a dark area on the way to heaven. I died and I went to heaven. And on the way, I thought I'd missed heaven. But I was in the second realm, the second heaven. And there's a warfare in the heavenlies that God talks about, and I witnessed that. I crouched up in a fetal position. I thought, oh, my God, I've missed heaven. I might as well just curl up and expect the worst. And I saw huge warriors, both evil and godly. The godly were winning inch by inch, but it was not a giveaway. It was a war in the heavenlies. Daniel alludes to that. He said, he prayed. He said, I heard you the first time, Daniel, Michael. And he said, but I had to go get Gabriel. I had to have help. But you persisted in your prayer unto the Father, and it worked because we came and defeated the Prince of Persia, the power, the stronghold that's over where you are. The persistent, effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous will avail much at this season. Trust me, it's not in our might or power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God today that we must rely upon. And how do you do that? You spend time in His presence. So when I got to heaven, people asked me, can you describe heaven? I said, well, if you've got a few thousand years, maybe. But it's just like you enter a timeless zone, and that's hard to describe to people. How long were you dead? Probably 12 minutes or so. I had a blood clot to my lung, and then I passed on. Shortly, I was in the presence of God. But when you step into that no chronos zone, that eternal sphere. It's a realm. And I realize it's not eons of years. It's just there's a glory realm right out here. If we could peel this glory realm back, you would see this great cloud of witnesses. I don't talk about God's glory often. Ruth Ward Heflin taught about it, but where is she? You know, people who talk about God's glory very much, when I begin to talk about this very much, that's where I want to be. This earth's not my home. We're passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Do you understand? We have an earthly home. But what I'm wanting you to understand is he wants us to be the earthly fathers and God's parents here that will bring in the glory presence of God as Moses longed to see and to be a part of his glory. He also gave him the understanding that when you step out of Sinai here and you go back into earth, you can still carry my presence. And they said they had to put a veil over him. Because why? He had been with God. The clouds settled over the tabernacle, it said, and nothing could take place then because God's glory moved in. My friends, we're going to see more than a touch of his glory now, because God let me know recently as I was caught up again in another realm. He said, it's not of this world that's about to touch this earth. It's God's glory that's about to touch this earth. Everything pales at the glorious presence of God. You cannot look at me and say you are the same when you've been with his presence. I can assure you that's the hardest thing to describe to people was the glory of God that I had a period of forever in. And you never want to leave it. And I met my brother who was dead, and I'd never met him. And I knew him in heaven and called him by name. I'd never seen a picture of him. Eternity with God, my friends, makes this a pale example and comparison. Yeah. And so the human efforts and abilities of man today are going to pale. They're going to fall. They're going to fail. People that you trust will reject you. People you can depend on at the very most important moment sometimes will leave you. But the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm Abba Father, and I'm also like a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Genesis 24, I just wanted to read a little bit of that to you, because God's big on one thing he showed me, and I was recently caught up in the glory realm after being in heaven. I know subsequently every time I go, but this time was different recently, because I was in the great cloud of witnesses this time. I have spent a day with Elijah. I know what it's like to be around some of the patriarchs. But this time, there was like an amphitheater filled, and I saw each one, and I knew this was Moses, this is Abraham, this is Elijah and Elisha. And there's a huge cloud of witnesses. They're heroes of faith. But I want to go on from there. But as I was caught up in that, I realized they're bidding us, is what I was in the presence of. I had an understanding like a great cloud of witnesses were encouraging to come on. You can make it. Come on up. Come on up. But you can't make it there. You're going to make it through the glory realm of God. So I depend upon it, because he's like the air that we breathe. Yes. You know that song? And so whenever he talked about witnesses, that jumped out at me, because God always shows himself and has a witness of it. He went up to Sinai, and as God drew him up to Sinai, then there became a great cloud of his glory presence. And as he did, and he heard the words from God first, and then they were written later. But as he bid this to Israel to obey, they said, yes, we will obey every word. They did exactly opposite before he even got down from Sinai, from the thick, weighty cloud of God's glory. They began to all of them, to want to go away from God. After hearing everything from God, he said, you have been a witness in today of my glory and how it is speaking to you. That's a paraphrase, but that's what he was saying to Israel. In other words, you saw this. When Daniel had to deal with Belshazzar, he did it differently than he did with his grandfather. His grandfather became like a donkey in the grass, and when he came up, he gave glory to God, said, he's the glory, he's the God of this man. I know he's God. He's real. I'm not a God. But Belshazzar had a big drunken party and called for the sacred elements of God and desecrated those, knowing what his grandfather had gone through. He knew. So in other words, you're more culpable is the word in the law. In other words, you're more responsible if you know something and you don't do it, or even if you do know it and somebody's under fire and you be quiet and you know better, you are also a supporter of evil. So there's no in between with God. When you're a witness of his glory, you can't say, I didn't know. And that's one reason he has a witness. It's a foundation in the days of the Eastern world. In other words, if the king of, as it's written, as spoken, as it's written, now it's unchangeable law. That's the law of the Medes and Persians. In other words, it's irrevocable. And they understood that greater in that kingdom than today in the Western culture. Everything, is there any commitment? That's what pastors ask me. It's hard to find today. Is there word you really, your bond? It was in my father's day. He was like your father. He didn't have a lot of warm and fuzzy, but he had a lot of doing. He was a real provider. His stuff was doing things. He mowed and plowed and did stuff even for the widows and others in his retirement age. I mean, he would do stuff we didn't know until we heard about it after his passing. So he was a doer. Not as many words, but he had a lot of action. That's what God wants today. He wants us to be in his glory and then demonstrate his nature and character because we're in his glory. You can't demonstrate something you don't know anything about. So there's a lot of ignorance going on here because the lookalikes here, you got the temple with big spires and stained glass windows and all kinds of trappings of being around God, but inside, like Jesus said, they're tombs with dead man's bones inside because they lack what? A relationship with the living God. Relationship overrides rulership by religious spirits because I want something that's really literally like tangible glory. And that's what Moses tried to demonstrate. Guys, I want you to understand, I have to have his glory. To do this work, I have to have his glory. But once I tasted it and I desired, he said in Genesis 33, I pray you, God, show me your glory. Yes, yes. And he did. And he showed him as much as he could have and still stay on earth to finish his assignment. I understand that. Too much glory, you won't be here.
That's right.
That's why I don't talk about it a lot, because I know the danger of stepping off into that realm. And if I died and go to heaven now, unless God spoke to her audibly and said, raise him from the dead, leave me alone. I'm telling you, you have something to look forward to.
That's right, yes.
In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. He has more in store for you than your mind could ever wrap around it. So the glory presence of God is something that's a huge matter. It was with Moses. It got him through. He longed to be home with Abba Father. The assignment was difficult. He did as good as he could in the flesh. He had a few faults. So did King David and a lot of other men of God. But God doesn't look at the faults. He looks at the heart. That's where we today are moving into a realm where the shaking of God isn't to destroy, it's to build up. See, he's got to shake. And so this season, when I went off in the glory realm with God and I saw the great cloud of witnesses, It's like they didn't say it, but it's like, come on up. Reside in the glory realm, because if you hang out too long and reside to let flesh try to accomplish what only my glory can do, then you're not only going to wear yourself out, but you're going to give a wrong example. See, these are examples. So somebody said Hebrews. That is true. Hebrews 12 is a good one. Let me just jump over here because I gave you the backdrop of Moses wanting the glory, and he resided in it. But in Hebrews is what I like about it, because the Hebrew writer is discussing in 11 the Hall of Fame for faith, right? And as he did this, he gave allusion to this, and this is exactly how, when I was in the glory realm and I was seeing this amphitheater, it's exactly what he's describing here. Therefore, since 12, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. In other words, he didn't say stop chasing sin. He's saying lay aside. In other words, don't even go at fleshly war against this stuff, and it'll entangle you. In other words, you can't win in your flesh, but you're going to have to spend time with me. And so the cloud of witnesses I just discussed and gave you a whole list of them in chapter 11 is what he's saying right here. So easily entangles us, let us run the endurance, the race that is set before us. And Paul uses that like a huge amphitheater, if you would, like they had a lot of those in their day, of athletic events and so forth. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, back into his glory. He started there, and he came, and he went back there. That's something people sometimes fail to think about. The King of Glory stepped into earth realm, which he and Abba Father, Holy Spirit, they created. He knew all about this. He wasn't caught by surprise. He only did what the Father wanted him to do. You understand? He only said what the Father wanted him to say. That's what he said in John. I only do what my Father tells me. I only do what he tells me. And that's it. That'll change your theology a lot. I mean, if you just think you're going to throw a dart somewhere in the kingdom, well, I'm going to go do this. Well, did you pray about it? Is that what Daddy told you? So it really helps you. That's what he wants you to do. Lean into his glory so that you will have the weapons of the warfare, not carnal, but they're mighty in God to bring it down to the stronghold. So when he says that, it's really like, I just made notes. I said, it's like that cloud of witnesses to me. It's like it brings out that imagery that suggests an amphitheater like I saw. And it's like an athletic contest is what Paul was talking about. But the witnesses are actually the heroes of the past. And I saw those heroes of the past. It's sort of like Stephen being beckoned by Jesus. Come on, Stephen. I know you can. He was standing. Jesus is standing up saying, come on, Stephen. You may lose your life here, but there's a lot of cloud of witnesses that you're going to encourage both there and here. And in those clouds of witnesses today, my friends, are bringing us up into the glory realm if we'll pay attention. The witnesses are the heroes of the past who have just been mentioned in chapter 11, as we said, and they aren't spectators. No, they're not spectators. They're actual living examples of eternity that celebrates those who've gone before us, that are bidding us come up higher. There is another realm. And they were doing that when I was there. They were like, John Mark, you belong in this cloud. I'm going, wow, really? I just felt so wild. Oh, I'm so, you know, undone. All I could do was just fall down and worship. That's what I wanted to do when I died and went to heaven. The first thing I wanted to do, my brother says, I know you want to go thank Jesus and lay at his feet, but you can't do that now because you're not going to reside here right now. I went, oh, don't tell me that. Yeah, well, you don't want to meet him right now because you're not finished. You're not going to take the final exam today, are you? I said, no, I guess. Yeah. So unusual to me are these inspiring examples. And when I looked up in the Hebrew or in the Greek, the word witnesses there, in Hebrews 12:1, it's the origin of our English word that's that means martyr. Now, I'm not racing to be a martyr, trust me. I want to be with my wife. I want to be here. I'd like to finish this race. We've had enough warfare. The devil's tried to kill us both the last few years, and a lot of you. Are there casualties? Of course there are. But when you lean into his presence and you press into his glory, you're going to have something the world can't stop you from and can't keep you from. Because blood is a witness that cries out unto the Father, just like those witnesses that are not spectators. They're engaged with God's glory, telling us, come up higher in a realm that will take you out of your attempts through the flesh to accomplish something that even I wouldn't have you do. Because what you're needing to do has to be supernatural. My God, I said, Lord, you're so supernatural. He said, I am not supernatural. You are supernatural. I'm super, super. I've never been natural. I consult with my son, Jesus, who's been supernatural. God is a spirit, and those that worship him will come up under his wing of the Almighty. I'll abide under the shadow of his wing. Why? Because he's a good, good father, and because he covers his own, he fills us with a glory realm that we can reside in up to the point where we can be here. And once you've tasted of that glory, nothing pales. Nothing comes close. And you will spend time in that glory realm because shaking is going to cause the time we need to come into his glory presence, and that's very soon. We're already getting a lot of shaking. But the witnesses actually bear testimony. They're testifiers. That's another word for that martyr is a testifier. Paul understood that. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But also, I have to go to Rome. I know I'm going to die there, as he's saying. And he did. But now my blood will be on the hands of the evil who will see God. And the testimony of God will be their judgment. Evil will never win. What are you going to do? If you take my life, you'll scare me back into glory presence of God. I'm ready. I'm like Paul. To live is Christ, to die is gain. The only reason I want to stay, he says, well, I guess it's more expedient that I be here for you. You still need a father. I'll be that. That's his heart. But they reside in a cloud of God's glory as his testifiers of God's goodness and how it will change your entire atmosphere in earth as it is in heaven. When we get a hold of this, we are going to invade earth more with God's glory. And as we do, things are going to glide. Instead of be uphill, it's going to be, praise God, that was easy. Why was it easy? Because it wasn't me. It was God's glory. Like an oil, like that heavy, thick cloud of his glory. Yeah. Oh, it's hard to talk about. But when it comes in, you don't need to preach and you don't need prophesying. You just want to glorify him because he gets all the glory. That's why, my friends, the devil hates God's people, hates Jesus. He hates the glory going to God. That's what he was after. His pride sought to overtake God's glory. So is it any different? God's glory is now shaking the earth, and it's going to increase. And so when I move on down to that, we are in, and I want to tell you that we're in a cloud of witnesses. Come on up. And they're also saying, remember, God's kingdom is an unshakable, unshakable kingdom. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, when he was before Pilate, I mean, I knew he was a king because kings know. They understand. Your nobility. I can tell you're royalty. You know who you are. You're like a king. You are a king, aren't you? He goes, as you have said, but not of this world. Well, it looks like you're in this world. No, we're in the world. We're not of the world. We're talking about a worldly order that's against the kingdom of God. Do you understand? I made this earth, but I didn't make an evil worldly order. And I'm not of that demonic world order. I'm of my Father.
That's right.
And I'm here to step into earth realm that we created to bring you glory so you can get through this and transform everything around you as much as possible prior to him putting his foot on the Mount of Olives, which is not all that far away. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then. Oh, didn't it? Oh, God. Moses, you go up. See, everything with God is power, lightning, thunder, fire. This is God. He's not covert. Boy, he's right out and direct and up on a mountain. You know he's God. I'm displaying who I am. I don't play games. God's straightforward. I tried to make a deal with him. He said, I'm not making a deal with you, John Mark, you Jacob. I'm not making a deal with you. I am the deal. You take this deal or no deal. That's God. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, when you meet him in a real way, you'll find out he's very God. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken. Oh, we're seeing that happen today. Are you paying attention?
Yeah.
Revelation, shaking, revealed. When it's revealed, God said, then I can deal with it.
Yeah.
It's revealed, and I'll do the dealing.
Amen.
In other words, I'm not the judge. I pray God save their souls, but I know they're going to need it. Because here comes the judge, because he is the judge. He's love. But the fact that he judges is a blessing for us.
Yes.
You understand? Judgment's not an evil word for a believer. It's a great word. Because I have a great loving relationship with Abba Father. I know when he judges, it's just like the Jesus using that example of the woman before the unjust judge. Rule on me. She probably knew something on him anyway. You know, I got enough trash on this judge. Anyhow, rule on me. Because, see, I know I'm not guilty. Now, you go before an unjust judge like that. He said, how much greater is it when you go before your Father and say, judge on us, Lord. Because I know what you're going to see over me, over my wife, over
yes,
Pastor Rhonda, and over all of these people. You're going to see that crimson suit
yes,
of the blood of Jesus that just covers them and says, perfect in all your ways. Because you remind me a lot of me. Because my Son transformed you by my glory, by my blood, the cloud of witnesses. You understand? Blood's crying out, oh, Lord, how much longer did they do it? Underneath, you know, as they were under the altar. Not much longer. Because there's others that need to join you. Because there's something about a cloud of witnesses. We're not spectating. We're transforming. Because we're testifying of what God's glory can do if you will hear our words. And I hear the clouds of witnesses saying, come up higher. In other words, we have an enemy, don't we? Just look around. Somebody says, you know, I said, this is the greatest season to be alive for the shaking of God that's coming to separate profane from holy.
Yes.
Well, it's scary to me. Well, get in his presence and you won't be afraid.
Right.
Why? Because the relationships destroy fear because love casts out fear. Somebody wanted to come in one of our healing lines and pray and said, brother, could you pray and try to cast the spirit of fear out of me? I said, not really. She said, what's the matter? I said, let's talk about relationship level, dear. Are you spending time with him? Are you yearning for him? Do you have deep love for him? Well, I'm not what I used to be. I said, well, that's time. That's all we have to do. Get back in his presence. You're not losing time. Just fall down and worship him now. Fear will flee.
That's right. Amen.
Because you can't love what you can't trust. Walking with God, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. What a cloud of witnesses we have that are eagerly saying, come up higher. And when I saw Moses, I saw the glory realm and the presence, and I could just get so far in there because I was so undone. There's no words. There's no needing to appear as something else. You're just who you are. you're bare. Your spirit is naked of who you are before Him. And that's how you enjoy the presence of God. Just the way you were, you get this, before flesh wrapper was put on the spirit. He already knew. And you have a cloud of witnesses saying, that is so true. Come up higher. So what does that mean, come up higher? That we need to escape this earth? No. What it means is, God, we must have your glory now. I can't fix this. I can't change enough Congress. I can't write enough laws. I can't redo. What I have to have is something flesh and blood can't offer in the presence of the enemy. I've got to offer the glory of God in the presence of the enemy. Because when they're martyring somebody and they're sitting there singing, glory, hallelujah, Jesus, I love you, they're not probably feeling the pain because their spirit is communing with God in such a pattern that you're dead to this earth, and that, therefore, the enemy knows when you're in that touch of his glory, I can't hurt that person. Untouchables is what we become in the presence of God to the devil. And it tears him up. That's why worship is a great warfare. It sets the tone of the presence of God. And you know, Ruth Ward said, you just glorify him long enough, you just get in the presence, pretty soon here comes the glory. And you're so undone in it that you don't have to perform anymore. You don't have to strive for anything. You're in his presence. And the atmosphere changes because of the amount of presence that you invite. You entreat the presence of God. I feel it now. I'm just one big goosebump. I just feel the presence of God. When I talk about his glory, it's like that's all you want. See, I used to be a real busy young pastor. We just had to do a lot of stuff, and God says, stop it. I want you on the floor. Fall back into love with me in a way that you first love me. Laodicea, this one thing I have against you, you've left your first love. Can love wane? Absolutely. I've been married in numbers of years, and I love my bride better today than ever before, but it's in a different way than it was the first 3 or 4 years. Because as you walk with somebody, you begin to grow in trust. Fear of God is strong, that you be a good husband, you be a provider, so you understand each other better now. Well, we understand Abba Father better now, don't we? We're not new at this, but one thing I do say to you, just like in a marriage and a betrothal, keep the fire. That's what he told him, keep the fire burning all the time. If we just sit and have a cup of coffee together, that's exciting to me because we're together. The devil tried to take my wife. He tried to take me, but he couldn't because God said, you're going to finish. You're going to finish your course. You're going to run the race. There's people that want to hear about my glory in Allentown today, and you're going to bring them a testimony of the goodness of God because he's a good, good father. Just a touch of his glory. I was with one of my favorite. He's an African-American pastor. We go way back when I was in Baton Rouge, you know, in House of Judah. And we were on a program. He had a program called A Touch of His Glory. And that program, when we were on TV together, it always ministered to me more than I feel like we gave out, because he really brought in the understanding of how desperate we must be for the touch of God's glory. Yes. Just a drop, let me tell you. It didn't take a lot. That's right. But effort, human trials are gone. That's right. You realize, guess what? We used to say each other, how long are you in this for, Hardy? Forever. Amen. How long are you in this for? Forever. World without end. And that's why I was in heaven. It was like you step into the forever realm. I don't know how long it was, but I can tell you there is no time in heaven. And the presence there, it's like when I was telling you, probably I would say Moses could tell you, but when you stepped into that glory realm, you never want to get out. When the glory moved into the house of Solomon, you know, the tabernacle, what happened to the priest? Everything humanly ceases and your spirit goes for what God wants. And that's what we're going to move into now, as that cloud of witnesses brings us up. Understand that God's saying today, because of my glory with you now, you already are my cloud of great witnesses here in earth as it is in heaven. They're bidding you come forward, come up higher, don't leave the earth, come up and reside in my glorious presence, so that when somebody gets around you, they know you have something. Religion, the lookalike, the game of life, or anything else couldn't do. It's relationship with Abba Father, and spending time in his glory means you are a carrier of that glory. Never, ever underestimate. On your worst bad hair day, I can tell you, I know how this flesh does. These emotions will lie to you. Oh, so-and-so hates on me, and, you know, so-and-so said this. And just get in his glory. It doesn't matter. One thing I can tell you about being undone in that glory presence, when I was caught up, nothing mattered. But Almighty Abba Father mattered. That's it. Nothing matters. Nothing else matters. You don't want to do anything else. Oh, you will after, I guess, a few hundred thousand years. I don't know. But you're always residing in the atmosphere that's like, when you're in his glory presence here, it's like on steroids and it's just forever. It's hard to describe that. It really is. But I can tell you one thing. He said the expression yet once more denotes that the removing of those things which can be shaken off, shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's a powerful statement. Yeah. Today, we're seeing the separation of everything that needs to be separated, the profane from the holy. Discernment, is it needed? Oh, more than ever today, folks. You need to preside in his glory. You need to study the word. You need to eat, drink, breathe, live, move, have your being with him so that you're not fighting the weapons of this warfare in the carnal way. You're residing in the glory, and that glory realm separates and gives you discernment to know the ones and what they're in and what they're going through, so you can pray and decree over that person.
Yes, that's right.
Not condemn them, and not go around and tell everybody in church this is what you saw in the spirit realm. That's actually defamation of character. What you need to do is God gives us discernment so we can, so the enemy in them, it's not them, is being revealed, and then you can get on your knees before the glory of God and deal with it so that he can make a setup on their life that they'll want to throw that away as the shaking gets more intense. And that's what we're moving. We can't fix folks. I've been in this ministry for over 40 years now. I can assure you I've learned a lot of things. And one thing you can't do is change a heart of somebody without the Holy Spirit going in and doing it. You can preach. My mother used to preach. She's blue in the face trying. That's not what God made you to be, son. Well, I will tell you one thing. Because of her anointed prayers, a little Holy Ghost mama.
Amen.
You know, you might as well just roll over and tap out if you're running. You got a mother on your prayer. You just give it up. Just roll over and say, I'm done. Tap out, because the hounds of heaven, she told me, you're on your trail. I went, oh, my God. and boy, they did. In other words, you're very miserable. You're not going to make a good sinner, so you might as well just go ahead and come in and just surrender to God and reside in that glory presence, because that's where he wants you anyway. That's what mothers and fathers want for you, and that's what Abba Father wants for you. So therefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. That used to bother me. Well, it really did when I was running. He's going to get you. But he wants to, and you need to yield to it, and you need to be in the consuming fire. See, the enemy is afraid of that because it reminds him of his future. But with us, like he said, rule upon me with an unjust judge. And when God's judgment and his fiery passion for us is so consuming that when we're caught up in that glory and consumed in his glorious presence, then you have something to share of the goodness of God. And that's why you're a testifier. That's what that word meant. You are a testifier. You are a witness of the glory of God. Paul would say, we've been with him. The disciples would say, we saw, we witnessed, we touched, we held it, and we felt, we knew Christ in this realm here. And he did say he would go away, but he's not going to leave us as orphans. He sent us the glorious power of his might, the Holy Spirit, didn't we? We just celebrated Pentecost Sunday. Well, I'm telling you today, fathers, mothers, everybody, children of God, enter into his presence. Let it come off your shoulders. You're not made to handle this. Every time old boy, I was young, yeah, real busy, I said, I got this, God. He said, oh, boy. I was real hard-headed young whippersnapper. I'm just going to get busy. Just go do something. No, fall down in his presence is what something you need to do. And that's what he told me. He says, I don't need to be impressed with your energy. I need for you to try to overlove me, which you can't do, but it's fun for you to try just because you want to. And when you do that, you know, Reagan jumped up in my lap. She's a little getting, you know, kind of preteen, right in that age where it's like daddies are not that, you know, fun to hang around as much. And she jumped up in my lap and it's like, oh, daddy, I just love you. I thought, up to half of my kingdom will I give you. You know, what is it you want, my daughter? I thought, well, here comes maybe the keys and $100. She said, I just haven't told you how much I loved you, Daddy, and what a good daddy you are to me. And I thought, I will carry that to heaven. Money can't make your daughter or your son or somebody do that.
That's right.
Not that I'm soliciting because I need approval. It's just like that's how daddy is. And God told me,
yes.
Remember that. That's me. I'm a father. I'm sorry. Jump up in my lap and just tell me you love me. Go back to that first love that you can't stop telling me how much you love me. And as you do that, people are going to be hungry to want what you have, and that's without price. No money can buy that. That's for God so loved the whole world that he gave. God's a giving God. God's a loving God. And when we position ourselves, there's comfort in his lap. Nothing will harm you. No weapon can touch you. Because he's jealous over his own. Let me tell you, he's a good, good father, isn't he? His glorious presence is where we're moving. As this shaking, I'm telling you, don't run from the devil. Don't even have fear. You have a good, good father. And his glorious presence is embracing you today in a new way. Where you will say, Daddy God, I've never loved you as much as I love you now. Amen? Isn't God good? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for your people, Lord. Thank you for the honor it's been to represent you. And Lord, forgive us for the things that we've done wrong in front of others representing you, or for the things we've never done. We've omitted, but Lord, help us today to grow in the stature and the fullness of the measure of Christ like you gave us, knowing that as we step into the glory realm with you, that eternity begins to really invade what we've had to endure and the glory of the only begotten Son of the living God speaks boldly that we have been in his presence, and the world will taste and see that Almighty is a good, good Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in this country now, that you're using this nation to again return as one nation under Jehovah Eloheinu, the Most High God. And there is none other but you, Lord, and that we will show them how good you are in the midst of how evil sin is wanting to overtake it. God, you told me that I am about to show myself through my glory to this land like no human has ever before experienced on earth. That's what you said to me when I was in your presence. I am about to pour out my glory up on the earth. Oh, the glory of his presence. And when that happens, sin will run wherever you walk. Run from wherever you walk. Because you will be a witness of the goodness of who I am, says the Lord. Oh, the glory of his presence. Fill us, Lord. Once more, he said, I'm going to shake not only the earth, but the heavens and the earth. And, oh, Lord, you promised, and you're a good father who keeps his word, that what remains is mine, says the Lord. What remains is mine. Who is that? You. That's what I can tell you one thing. When I saw all the grandeur of heaven, I might secondarily in the next statement say to you that I said, that's too much. The mansion's bigger than Philadelphia. I said to my brother, I don't need a mansion that big. He said, tell that to the one who wanted you to have it. I said, but it'd take forever to. He said, look it over. He said,
we got it.
And he did like this. Oh, well, won't that be fun? Folks, you have no idea. You know, I've been around people, not of this world. I was around an old prophet. That's before being prophets were cool. He wasn't cool. He had a crazy and a bizarre life. But I knew one thing. He was untouchable. Hear this. He was untouchable by the devil. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't so much what I'd say humble, but he was a humble man. But he was assured of the clarity, hear this, of God's word in his spiritual ear. That's what I live for. Folks, I really am not allowed to honestly say a lot of the stuff God speaks. And that's how we should be. Why? Because those things are for another day, another time, and for another person. Do you get this?
Yeah.
When you know God enough, and you should, and you do, you hear from him. Not another voice will you hear.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Once you've experienced that, what else is there?
That's right.
Somebody said, you know, are you going to be so spiritually minded you're not any earthly good? I said, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You got that right. Not of this world. Giving glory. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Pastor Rhonda and Gary, I tell you, I just saw that today when I was in prayer, I saw their yearning for what the message was today. That's to become residents of his glory to the degree God said, because you're opening that channel. Well, I don't want to say that wrong, but that open heaven realm here. God said there is a resident opening that you've torn through. That earthly membrane now over this region where the presence of God will reside because of your entreatment to him to come and reside here. And you were doing like this. And when I was praying for you, you said, here is where I want it to reside. And everybody can say, you know, arise and shine. For the light of God's glory has risen and has settled. In other words, resided, is risen and rest upon who? Put your hand right here, upon you. That's what Isaiah 60 said. Right here, right? That's where it's the hope, Christ in you, is what you're giving them. And you're standing up for the righteousness and the truth of God. There's no apology for that. And let every other man's word be a lie, he said. And you're a person of God's word. But God says, you have no idea how much I keep my word in this season for you.
Amen.
I give you. I just heard him say to you, Pastor Rhonda, I give you my word, dear. And that's a profound several statements in one, isn't it? I give you my word. Because you know why? I know what you're going to do with it. And you are a giver of my word. You receive a word and you give a word. And that's what my people are doing in this season to be that unshakable kingdom. Wow. Mm. Do you feel that?
Yes.
Is it just me? I just love the presence and I just feel the glory this morning. It's like this is very unusual to me, this atmosphere. And Father, what's your father's name? What's your name, brother?
Carl.
The Lord said your heart was yearning and burning, but don't judge yourself harshly because my presence is with you even when you think it isn't. And the things that you've done, even when you didn't think it was enough, because of your trust in me, it was more than you realize. And it's a legacy that you can't buy and you can't leave and betrothed to others because it's from me, but you do have a legacy from me that is deposited here in this earth because of your heart for me and your family. Wow. You know, Smith Wigglesworth lived for the presence of God. Did you know that? He didn't live to be a healing evangelist. He lived in the presence in the realm of his glory. Why do you think I know that? Is because one of my spiritual mothers was his spiritual daughter. And as I sat face to face, as she explained Smith Wigglesworth to me at 100 years old, I thought, I can't capture this moment again, Brother Ralph. It was a moment God put me in the presence of a daughter of that man who was 100 years old and explained to me one word phrase or one phrase. I asked her, could you please tell me what Smith was like? She could have said he was a very difficult man to live with, and she did. Because the biggest phrase is he was not of this world. People know that, and results reside with those who reside with God. Something comes up in you that's not taught to you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. He said, what will we say? I don't know what you're going to say, but the Holy Spirit, when I leave him with you, will teach you and will speak through you. Do not worry what you say before the kings and the judges and the rulers, but the Holy Spirit will fill you, and you will say what Daddy wants, not what you think.
That's right.
What's your last words before they put you on the gallows? To God be the glory. See? Oh, it changes things, doesn't it? Everything changes in the presence of His glory. Smith Wigglesworth, she said, tell me about one example about him not being of this earth. I know I got to close, but I just have to tell you, this is an example. I like examples because they show us the frailness of humanity compared to his glory. And the desire to be with him, she said, was all he lived for. So the four pastors, while we were at this very desirable steak pub, they call them in London, where they had very good food. He was a steak and potato man. Ordered a big steak. They all ordered steak. And they did a mistake. She said they asked Smith to pray over the meal. I went, oh, no. I looked down. I started smelling that food, and I thought, oh, if I could only eat it today. And he took off because I knew when he started into prayer, there was its timelessness, eternity took over and took him somewhere to do something for somebody, but he was gone. And 4 hours later, John Mark, she said, when he came back to himself on this earth, the proprietor, knowing who he was sitting there just kind of washing up the tables and stuff, acting busy, where there was nobody else in the restaurant. And the pastors were long gone. And there our steaks sat cold and untouched, and we took them home again, as we always did, if he were to pray over the food. Not of this earth is what that man was. He didn't know time here. So you didn't ask him to pray over a meal. In his presence is fullness of joy. Why wouldn't you want to be there? What's a stake compared to the glorious presence of God? If you ask me to pray, we're going into the glory realm.
That's right.
When I come back, we want to see cancer fall off of somebody.
Right.
We have an authority we didn't have because it's not me, but it's Christ in me that now sees cancer. You don't have a place in my wife, and she's healed.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because it isn't. See, I did spend a day. I've got to stop this. But I did. I got to write some accounts and make another little book. But let me say this to you. I spent a day in heaven with Oral Roberts. Always wanted to meet him. And I asked God, Lord, I just wanted to meet him. And boom, that night I went to sleep and off I went. And all of a sudden, he's walking beside me, put his arm around me, said, I heard you wanted to visit. I said, God, you're so good. And he was young, had that curl like hanging down there. And we just walked and talked about healing and how great it was and asked me a few questions about the glory realm and earth. I'm going like, I thought you guys knew. I mean, it's like, well, no, that's your department. That's what Elijah did too. He said, how is it there? They wanted to know because, immediately I knew when I was talking to Elijah, I said, your spirit is running to and fro across the earth, lest we be smitten with a curse, and we're not, because if you thank you. He goes, yes, that's what I wanted to hear. The witnesses are testifiers. I did that then, you're doing it now. But there's a book you need to fill up, John Mark. You're not through. There's a lot of words, and he had a book that thick, Elijah showed me, and about that many words in it, the rest of it was blank. He said, you got a lot of writing. You got a lot of words. You carry on, son. I was going into an amphitheater of all these witnesses with Oral Roberts. And he said, well, you're going to have to go set up there, like on the outer realm. There's a table you can sit there if you want to, if God wants you to. But I have to go down here. They're waiting on me. I thought, man, they're all sitting in this big, huge amphitheater. All these witnesses are waiting on Oral Roberts. I said, what? Wait a minute, Oral, what kind of meeting is this? It's a healing crusade. You know what I do. I said, in heaven? He said, yeah. Because the prayers of the saints are going up onto that altar, and God's sending them over through angels and are dropping them on us in this meeting, and we're praying the prayer of faith, and the healing's not for here. It's for you there. Yeah, glory. Isn't that good? There's a great cloud of witnesses, I'm telling you, and those are martyrs. That's what that word I found out meant, and it really helped me understand. There's a cloud of witnesses, and their blood's crying out, keep on, come on, just a little while. Just a little while. And when that transformation takes place, you're going to see his glory and his presence and a transformation in earth like they all prophesied towards and never got to see and keep asking, has it happened, is what they were asking me. Has his glory, what they were in so many words, I believe, this is my, has his glory that we prophesied and decreed and searched for filled the whole earth? Oh, my God. I got chills. Oh, it's going to. Trust me, if they're looking for it, the cloud of witnesses are bidding us on. Trust me, God's glory. He said, the knowledge of my glory. That's where we are. We understand that. But the glory will fill the whole earth. Isaiah understood that. Lord, the glory is now coming, my friends. He told me in 2022 there's going to be some wows like you can't believe. And I believe one of them is the glory presence of God. I had a vision and I saw his hand outstretched over this huge round valve, like a big gate valve, like you would to a water supply or something. And it was a big spigot. And I said, wow, God. And he started opening it up. I said, what is that? He said, that is my glory about to fill the whole earth. I said, I don't even need to prophesy. No, I don't. No, you don't need. I said, what must I do? He said, get under it. I would be right under it. Folks, I want under that spigot. Well, I want to be where the glory is. We don't have to do nothing. We don't have to perform. Performance evaluation's over. Trials cease. I'm telling you, the glory presence of God is coming in, and they're going to taste and see that God is good. Evangelism will change. It's just going to be putting it in the barn. This harvest season, my friends, I'm telling you, this is the greatest ingathering that's about to take place. The world has been looking for, the witnesses have been crying out for, and God is going to do it. And it's going to happen through his glory filling the earth.
Yes.
No man will take credit for it this time. No man will stop it. God said, I'm stepping in. I love my children. I've heard your cries. They've come up to me just like when I set my Israel free. Now, I'll step in. Let Daddy take this one. The devil, of course, thinks he's won, but he's about to see he is forever lost. Give him glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.